Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with Lisa Schlager, who is the Vice President of Community Affairs and Public Policy at Facing Our Risk of Cancer Empowered, also known as FORCE, as she breaks down the misinformation associated with at-home genetic tests and why visiting with a genetic counselor is still vital in learning about your hereditary cancer risk.
And so with the growing, popularity of these at-home tests, can you explain a little bit about how they can actually lead to misinformation, though, for individuals that are using them?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, most of these, quote, at-home tests are really meant for recreational use. They're not medical-grade tests that should be utilized to guide medical decision-making. And most of these, most that offer the healthcare assessment components are not FDA-approved, and that's very important because you really want to go with a test that is reliable. So they may be based on, technology that's not sound. They may not provide a full picture of the information that you need. So that can lead to misinformation. And as an example, the 23andMe tests, just the one that tests for BRCA mutations at this point, only looks for three of the mutations that are most commonly found in people of Ashkenazi Jewish ancestry. And you might say, well, okay, I'm Jewish, so that could be great information for me. But the reality is that a vast majority of consumers are not Jewish. And secondly, even people who have Jewish ancestry, they may have a mutation that is not one of those three. In fact, there are thousands of BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutations. So the fact that you take a test and it tells you that you don't have one of these three mutations is really misleading, and it can misinform people because that test really almost is meaningless. There are many more mutations out there, and if you're testing for only three of them, you're not getting a complete picture, and that really does lead to misinformation and can lead people to believe that they may not be at increased risk of cancer based on a very incomplete analysis. And on the other, and that's a missed opportunity. Similarly, if the test gives a false positive result, meaning it tells somebody that they do have a mutation when in fact the test wasn't accurate, they might lead somebody to believe they have a high risk of cancer, and that has all kinds of implications. So again, we think, at-home tests are fun, but they're not really the best tool to evaluate, your risk of certain diseases.
Definitely. And so 23andMe received FDA clearance last year for BRCA test, and then actually just days ago, clearance for the test in colorectal cancer. How are these tests kind of limited in what genes they're actually testing?
They're actually very limited. So as I mentioned, the 23andMe test, BRCA test, looks only at three mutations, when in fact there are over 6,000 genetic mutations now associated with increased risk of breast and ovarian cancer, similar to BRCA. So, BRCA, there are thousands of mutations, and they're only looking for three. But then there are mutations beyond BRCA. They have all these interesting names like PALB2 and CHEK2 and ATM, but they have similar risk profiles, and you're not getting any of that when you take the 23andMe BRCA test. Similarly, the new test for colorectal cancer under 23andMe, very, very similar warnings. They're only looking for two mutations out of many, many possible mutations that can cause increased risk of colorectal cancer. And what's interesting is, unlike BRCA, these mutations are what we call recessive. So if only one of these genes is mutated, it doesn't really increase risk much. It's only if both are mutated. But in the big picture, they're not even looking for the most common mutations that cause hereditary colon cancer, and those are associated with Lynch syndrome. So again, it's a very limited snapshot that can be misleading, and you're better off having a what we would call a traditional genetic test for BRCA or Lynch syndrome, or a multi-gene panel test with a traditional lab, in order to get a real full view of your risk, and consulting with a healthcare provider in order to do that.
Great. And I'm sure a lot of this is kind of the same, but similarly, people have been using ancestry tests to determine this hereditary risk. And is there anything different that they should be aware of with these tests?
Yeah, I mean, ancestry tests are a lot of fun. You know, they're great for learning more about your genealogy and your family background and maybe, you know, ethnicity, but they're not medical grade tests. You know, any information that you get through these tests, you have to take with a grain of salt. And they are maybe, you know, good and enjoyable ways and actually fun ways to connect with potential relatives. But they're not really meant to provide healthcare information. So one of the things we've seen is people are taking what's called the raw data that these tests provide and running them through third-party tools to try to get more information about their ancestry, but also about their health. And this has led to all kinds of confusion and misinformation. So again, you know, if you really want to know about your predisposition to disease, there are very good evidence-based medical tests, lab tests out there that are available for a reasonable cost. In fact, the cost of genetic testing has come down substantially in recent years. So there's no reason to cut corners and go through, an over-the-counter ancestry-type test. You're better off going through a healthcare provider and getting a traditional genetic test that really is meant to provide useful evidence-based information.
Great. And I know, obviously false positives can be associated with these tests, but how mm-hmm. can that affect somebody who, you know, may in fact have a genetic mutation and doesn't know it, or maybe you test positive for a genetic mutation, but you actually don't even have that?
Right. So that's a really important point. So we've got people who test and, they might take the 23andMe test and they say, oh, I tested negative. I don't have to worry. I don't have one of these predispositions to cancer and I'm average risk, or maybe even think they're below average. And that's a missed opportunity because, in fact, if the individual does carry an increased risk and if they were evaluated properly, then they would be able to change their medical management. They would increase screenings for breast cancer. They would have the options of chemo prevention or even risk reducing surgery. And so they could either catch cancer early or prevent it altogether. On the flip side, if somebody were to test positive and it was a false positive, meaning that the result was not accurate, they might take, A, it causes anxiety, but B, they might take steps that are pretty radical that, you know, they can't take back. For instance, if a woman has a BRCA mutation, it's recommended that she remove her ovaries and fallopian tubes when she's done having children. And, for somebody to do that without, a good medical reason, we don't want to see that happening. So before anybody takes one of these tests for gospel, any over-the-counter test, definitely consulting with a knowledgeable healthcare provider who can do confirmatory testing with a more traditional lab is very important, because we want to make sure that anybody who is taking steps to reduce their risk is actually justified in doing so. And there have unfortunately been some cases of individuals who have undergone risk-reducing surgeries such as mastectomy or hysterectomy when in fact they were misinformed about their result. So we don't want to see that happening, and we want to make sure that we protect consumers from those types of mistakes.
Definitely. And so with that, I know you've kind of given this overview a little bit in some of your previous answers, but can you describe the genetic counselor role and like how that can help with these at-home tests for people who might not be aware of what a genetic counselor is?
Absolutely. So just to provide some context, genetic counselors are healthcare providers who are specifically trained in understanding all of the latest genetic tests and what they mean and how that fits into an individual's risk. And they, or a geneticist, which is an MD doctor that has genetics training, are really best equipped to help guide anyone who has concerns about hereditary risk of any kind of disease. And they can provide guidance. They can really be a person's best friend throughout the process of understanding whether or not they have increased risk, but then what to do about that risk. They can help with everything from psychosocial counseling to understanding, you know, what the guidelines say and the standards of care, helping individuals inform family members, determining, you know, if a test was done through a lab such as 23andMe or any other direct-to-consumer test, helping ensure that that test is accurate and that the information is used appropriately to improve the person's health, because that's the ultimate goal. But making sure that you really understand the implications of what having a mutation or not having a mutation means for you and your family members, and then what your options are. So often we see people who've been told, oh, you need to go have, surgery, when in fact that isn't the only option. And, you know, or somebody is told to do a certain type of screening and insurance isn't covering it and they don't understand why. Well, that's where genetic counselors come in, because they understand the laws around coverage. They know what resources are available to help people. And in fact, frequently they step in and advocate for the patient with the insurance companies to make sure that patients can access the services that they need if in fact they are identified as high risk. So even though they may not have been involved in the initial testing, if somebody used a direct-to-consumer test, they can still be a valuable tool in partnering with the patient to make sure that all of the right things are done once they have that information.
Perfect. And is there anything that we haven't touched upon that you think our audience should know more about?
Well, for anybody who does have a strong family history of cancers, I would say that there is support. There are organizations like our organization, FORCE, that provide evidence-based information and support and advocacy around these cancers. And this is for people who maybe have had cancer and carry one of these mutations, but also for people who are at increased risk and are trying to figure out what to do with that information. So you don't have to go through this alone, and there are definitely resources out there. You just have to seek them out. But FORCE is definitely available for to provide assistance and peer navigation, as well as great, you know, evidence-based information that's been vetted from medical professionals all around these topics. So I would just say that there are some wonderful resources available for anyone who is concerned about their hereditary cancer risk.
For more information, visit facingourrisk.org. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.